Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the iTricks Magic Week in Review. This is Michael Lauk back with you. If you're wondering where Justin Robert Young is, who isn't? So one of these days, promise, we will sit him down and get him back on the show. Until then, though, I went out and found Murray Sawchuk, who I think is going to be a better replacement for Justin anyway. Murray, are you there?
How are you, Michael? Thank you so much for having me on your show. I am honored, and I'm very excited to be chatting with you.
Oh, we are excited to have you on. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to appear with us here today and talk to all the iTunes listeners. Like I warned you off the air, we should be hitting the website on Tuesday. If not, it might be late Monday night, whatever. We're going to be really close to the premiere of this year's version of America's Got Talent. And of course, you did some time on America's Got Talent a while ago.
That's right, season 5.
It's a lightning rod among magicians, that show. Man, people hate it, people love it. Generally, I mean, what were your experiences as a performer on that show? Do you think it's prejudiced against magic? And do you now kick yourself for not being on in a season with Heidi Klum?
You know, it's interesting. It's funny questions. I'll answer them all. First of all, I love America's Got Talent. I love what it did for my career. And I think a lot of people who don't like it is when they don't have a good experience on it, or they don't get the exposure they wanted, or a trick doesn't go right, or they didn't get taken in the right light. And the key is to that show, when you go on as a performer, you can't think like a magician or a singer or a comedian. You have to think like a producer. If you think like a producer, then you will actually succeed in the show. Because when you're sitting back at the controls, imagine all these acts you have to look at, and you have to choose based on the best or the worst to go on TV, because either or, we love to watch. As human beings, we love, you know, a car crash as much as we love a July 4th fireworks. We like both, and we'll watch it. Mediocrity won't last on the show. So either it has to be phenomenal magic or just a complete train wreck. But bottom line is, it's exposure. You know, when I was on it in season 5, we had over 22 million viewers watch, which was one of the highest rated seasons I think they've had. And that's what got me my show in Las Vegas. So it was a great thing for me. But, you know, when I did my train vanish, I knew even before we went live that that was going to be the last time I was on that show. I just sensed it. I knew it. You know, as a producer, when you're looking at it, that's the biggest trick ever that's been done on the show. And after you've used the talent for all they're worth as a TV producer, then you go to the next. That's what the TV show's about. That's what it's all about. And it's about ratings, about good television. That's the way it goes. You know, if you're producing the show, had your money in it, you would definitely want the acts to do the best they could for as long as they could. And then once they've kind of peaked, it's time to keep it going on with the other acts. You know, that's kind of the way America's Got Talent works. And I love it for that. You know, you really have to be open to that. You can't come in naive thinking it's just about my great coin vanish or my great coin roll or whatever. It's about, you know, it's about a big production. It's about something really intriguing. In regards to Heidi Klum, and I think, what's the other one, Mel B is the other judge now?
Yes.
I got to be honest with you, this is my own personal opinion. I know they've been successful in their careers, but I just don't know how much, you know, how much experience they've had in judging variety of talent. I mean, yes, one's a singer, one's a model, and they've seen a lot and traveled and been very successful. I just don't feel like they're well-versed in giving these up-and-comers an opinion. I don't really take any of their opinions valid. Howie Mandel, I have a lot of respect for. He's worked his way all the way up from comedy clubs to who he is today. Howard Stern, he has worked his way all the way up. He's done everything, seen everything. He's been hated on. He's not been liked all that way, all the way up. Not to say Mel B or Heidi Klum haven't, but, you know, they don't come from, my experience, as far as I know, they don't come from a variety background. They don't come from struggling. We all struggle, you know, and I'm not saying that, but I just have a very hard time accepting their opinions. You know what I mean? It's like when I watch The Voice, I see Blake Shelton and the guy from Maroon 5 and Usher and, you know, Christina Aguilera. All those four have been doing it since they were kids, you know? They worked very hard at it. They've had some good and bad things. But all those four judges, I know they keep changing judges, but those four, really have a history in entertainment that when they give you an opinion, you can take it with some worth. You know, you really can. So I'm, you know, Heidi Klum is very attractive and she's had a very successful career. I just don't know how much information she's helping giving Variety acts her opinion. You know what I mean? When she's a model, you know what I mean? If she was ugly, guess what? She wouldn't be Heidi Klum. She wouldn't.
Well, no, I think that's true. I think personally, when they announced Heidi Klum was going to be on, and Mel B and Howie Mandel and Howard Stern, that new panel of judges, the first thing that struck me, which I thought was kind of funny, is of the four judges, only one of them is actually from America, which is neither here nor there because, hey, we're a melting pot. But I always think that that's kind of an interesting aspect of the show. And then when they announced Heidi Klum, I was like, I wonder if they're going to have a spokesmodel competition like the old Star Search. Do you remember that show?
Yes, I do remember with Ed McMahon, of course.
Ed McMahon, yeah.
A lot of stars came off that. A lot of stars. Britney Spears, Jim Carrey. I mean, the list goes on, you know. Sinbad.
Yeah, actually, I think a couple of the people on those voice judging crew appeared on Star Search, too.
Yeah, Christina Aguilera was on there as well, sure, yeah.
So you're positive on America's Got Talent. That's good to hear. Cause I know a lot of people do think that they kind of shortchange magicians, but I see a lot of, acts on there. You know, it's not an optimal way to perform for comedians. You know, I've noticed there's a million sound problems on that show, you know, at least for the home viewer. So I don't think we get treated any worse as a profession than anyone else. And of course, that's only one of your TV experiences. Lord knows
sure.
that every time I'm flipping by the History Channel, it seems like you're bouncing into the pawn shop to
that's
look at
me, yeah.
or something.
Now,
obviously, America's Got Talent. You go out, you audition, you get on, you just like everyone else. How does one end up being on Pawn Stars?
I lucked out. I mean, you know, I live in Vegas now. I'm originally in Vancouver, Canada. I live in Vegas. Did America's Got Talent. At the same time, Pawn Stars already had a year on TV, and they were really picking up as a really big hit show for History Channel and cable TV to begin with. And they were looking for a host to tour the States and basically do live appearances, maybe the host. Well, the producer that was behind that's a very dear friend of mine. Said, you know, Murray, you'd be a great host for this. You know, you've hosted, you have a degree in broadcast and television and everything as a background. And I said, well, I'd love to host. I mean, that's kind of what I'd love to get into more so. So I met them. They liked me. We said, let's do a trial run here in Vegas. So we did it at the Suncoast Hotel, a local kind of hotel here. It went really well. And I went on the road with them for like 2.5 years as the host of their live meet and greet. So people would come in, bring their stuff. We'd be in the middle of Oklahoma, Minnesota, wherever it be. They'd bring their stuff, and we'd have live cameras, and you'd meet the guys. They'd look at it, and sometimes they'd buy the stuff right off you there, along with the other 12 crew from the store. So it was a pretty big operation. We had a great time. And then, you know, you get to know the guys really well because you're on the road with them. You're having dinner with them. You're hanging. You're having drinks. And they're like, how come, you know, we should get you on the show somehow, the actual TV show. That's such a great idea. And so I said, hey, I said, I got an idea, you know, and I said, Houdini's, you know, obviously a big famous historical magician. Everyone's still fascinated about, and there's many others. Why don't we start bringing some items or finding some items that people want to get rid of that are of that nature? And that's kind of how it all started. And then I ended up the magic expert and magic historian on the show. And I love magic. I love history. And am I the most qualified for that? No. But I'm educated in magic. I've done it since I was 7 years old. I love magic. And what I don't know, I've phoned, you know, some very, very close friends of mine who are very intelligent with the history of magic, from the Norm Nielsen's to Ken Klostermans to, you know, Chip Romero. A lot of these magicians who do collect may know a lot about it. So to get my dates and things right exactly, you know. But it's a great show, and it puts magic in another limelight, you know.
Yeah, now, two interesting things there. First of all, about the show. So there was like an Antiques Roadshow thing going on behind the scenes there that you were involved with for Pawn Stars. That almost seems like a more interesting show in itself.
Well, it is, but it's a live show. So you have to meet them, get a picture of them, sign their autograph. But, you know, if you were to watch that live on TV, it'd be extremely boring because you want to get to the meat of it, you know, and that's exactly what the Pawn Stars are. You know, somebody walks in, you see the item, let's make a deal. Is it worth something? Is it not? They bring an expert in or not, and then they make the deal. If not, we go to the next item, you know. And with this, you know, somebody's got to come up, you chat for 5-10 minutes, you kind of see the item, we kind of look. Sometimes you got to research it, because sometimes some of these items are from, you know, some old farm equipment, and it's one of those things where you don't even know what that is. You know what I mean? You have no idea what that is. So it's one of those things where we have to do some research, and there's different sites you can look up stuff that might be for sale, and then actually make an offer, you know, because you're like, oh my God, there is only two of those available. Or sometimes it's very common, you know, so that's kind of just the way it works with that type of a show. So it's a lot longer drawn out, but it's fun because you sit there for 6 hours, have a drink, you're at a casino, you get to see the guys on stage, they're chatting live on mics. So it's a very interactive thing, and, you know, it got them really out there. And, you know, at that time, you know, their ratings were off the charts. It was like 8.5 million viewers to watch the Pawn Stars. And that's a reality-based cable show. And in cable, generally, if you get over 1.5 million, that's a hit on cable TV. At least it used to be 4 to 5 years ago. And now, you know, cable's starting to beat even, network television. So it was a massive show, you know.
Right. Now, the other interesting thing you said in that was you have a degree in television and broadcasting. How is that? I mean, obviously, you're on television, so it's working out. But I mean, as opposed to if you had it to do over again, is that the route you think you know that has worked best for you? Or would you go, you know what, now in retrospect, I should have hit acting a little harder, or maybe studied, you know, X or Y or Z, or maybe I wish I had that MBA. For guys right now who are looking at college but want a career in magic, what would you suggest?
Well, if you're in college, you want a career in magic. You know, college only takes 4 years to get a degree, maybe 8 if you want to be a doctor, and 10 with a residency. But at the end of the day, say you start 18, 19, go to college, or say you go 10 years, you're still 28, you're still young. You know what I mean? But you got to jump on it right away. I'm all for education, but I'm more of a street smart type of person. You know what I mean? I'm the type that... There's certain people that when they get a product, like a new radio or a computer, they read the instructions, and then they open the product. I take the product out and then put the instructions away just in case I need them. But that's the type of person I am. I love figuring things out myself. I love just doing that. It may take a little longer, but then I'll never forget it. But I'm just that type of person. I just naturally would just start a project. So I got to build something in the backyard. I'll go to Home Depot, buy some wood, bring it home. Might buy some extra stuff because I don't know if I need it, and I'll just start working on it. But that's just, I'm a trial and error type of person. That's how I work. So going to college is great, and I think college gives you a great foundation to commit something, start something, and end it. And that's what shows employers when you have a degree, that you can actually commit to something and finish it, and you receive an accolade at the end of it. So that, I think, is the big thing about college or university. Plus, you obviously learn something very educational. But in magic, look, here's the deal. If I was, you know, if I had to open this to redo again, because, you know, I started touring when I was 20 on ships and resorts, and then I moved to Orlando when I was like 25, spent 5 years in Florida, and then I moved to Vegas but in my late 20s. Well, in retrospect, honestly, I would have graduated from high school, and honestly, I would have booked a flight right to L.A., found an agent, and started auditioning right away. That's the only difference I would have done, because the really truth of this is to get a role, you have to audition. They have to see you. They have to be in front of them. You can mail stuff in. You can talk to people. You can know people. But until they see you, you're not going to get the work. You just got to be in the mix. It's kind of like if you want to create a new computer or you want to work on software, you have to be in Silicon Valley, which is just outside of San Francisco. That's where Google's invented. That's where all these great places are invented for electronics. If you want to be one of the masterminds in that world, go to Silicon Valley. You're probably going to do well because you'll meet the same people that are in the same area as you. Same with coming to Vegas or coming to LA, or even New York. New York's got a great magic scene. Go to a city that has that, but you can work enough to pay your bills by doing magic. You can do close up magic at people's parties that have enough money to pay for you. But you go to the middle of Iowa, the middle of Albuquerque, nothing wrong with places, but the magic or the shows that might want to hire you, probably a lot less. You know, when I lived in Orlando, I literally did 5 shows in the 5 years I was in Orlando, actually in Orlando. I always flew out to Europe or something at that time. Because, you know, unless you work for the mouse, you know, which is Disney, Orlando doesn't have a lot of other avenues to perform magic. So, you know, unless you're doing some corporate stuff. So my idea is if you really want to do magic full time, study, find a mentor, find somebody about 20 years older than you that's really done it. And I mean, not someone that tells you what to do that's not done it, but somebody that's physically done it. They've toured the world. They've played the venues. They've done Vegas. Because whether you want to accept their knowledge right or wrong. The fact is, they've done it. You know, you look at Lance Burton telling something, or Matt King, or, you know, Chris Angel. I know people love or hate Chris Angel. Whether you love or hate the guy, he's done it. He's got a show on the Strip, one of the biggest magic shows to hit Las Vegas since Siegfried and Roy. Most magic on TV. It's a fact. Whether you like him or not, he's done it. So he did something right. In those meetings, he said the right thing. He had the right look. Something worked out right for him. So learn from these people. You know, you don't have to do exactly what they do, but learn. My mentor was Mr. Electric, you know, who lit light bulbs. A lot of the younger kids, I don't think, know of him, but you should study the old greats. He's still alive. He's in Palm Springs, a very dear friend of mine. As a matter of fact, I'm seeing him this weekend when I go into L.A., and he's the one, him and his wife, Carol, were my mentors, and they toured the world for 50 years, and they worked everywhere. They were the number one variety act in the world for like 30 years. So that's what I learned from, and, you know, I attribute all my stuff to them. Without them, I wouldn't be who I am or doing what I'm doing.
Okay, that's great. And let me let's take a break here because we're already about halfway through the show, believe it or not. And
yep.
We will, like I said, take a break. We'll take a breath. All
right.
We'll regroup. And we'll be right back in a second with Murray Sawchuk. And everybody out there, listen to this.
Hello, this is Michael again with my little friend Paco. Paco, can you speak? Speak, boy. Come on, speak. Speak. Okay. The one time I want the Chihuahua to bark, he's not actually going to bark. But I'm going to assure you that Paco wishes to join me in urging everyone out there to support your local no-kill animal shelter. Paco has been a part of our family for 8 or 9 years now. And despite the 8 or 9 years of otherwise constant barking, he's been a real important part of the family. And we love the little guy. And there's lots of little guys out there that need your love who haven't done anything wrong except for being born to irresponsible pet owners. So no matter where you live, I guarantee there is a no-kill animal shelter in your area and that they need your help. So if you have time, if you have money, if you have inclination, if you're looking for a great charity, support your local no-kill animal shelter. Thanks. And Paco thanks you too.
iTricks.com.
And we're back. This is Michael Lauk with Murray Sawchuk out of Vegas.
Hello there.
Okay. Now, we've talked about what you've done on television before, Murray. So why don't we talk about where people can see you now? Obviously, you have a show in Las Vegas right now, which is a great place to – let's go ahead and plug that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I've been celebrating my 2-year anniversary like 2 weeks ago at the Tropicana Hotel in Las Vegas. The Laugh Factory Theater, who produces me, and we've had a great 2 years, man. I didn't think I'd last 10 days, so 2 years is a massive milestone in Las Vegas, so we're happy. We're happy to be driving to work. We're there right till September this year, and then we usually take a couple-month break in the fall, and I go touring either to Australia or Canada or somewhere, and then I come back around Christmas time, back to the Trop. But it's not every venue. We absolutely love it. If people come into town, you can check it out. You know, you can go to the TropLV.com website. You can go to my website, MurrayMagic.com, for tickets, and it's a great place. It's a fun show. It's an hour show, and it's great for anyone from age 2 to 102.
Okay, and for people who aren't going to make Vegas, we're going to see you on TV, right?
Oh, yeah. I just shot some more Pawn Stars episodes, and also Pawn Stars is having a new channel called the Golden Silver TV channel. It's going to be on DirecTV channel 223. I believe it starts next week around May. Next week or just after this weekend. It's basically like a QVC. Or the home shopping network of Golden Silver Pond. It's their own network. And there it's basically Pawn Star approved items and some of the stuff that's already been on the show that they're selling to customers at home. And you're getting some good discounts, some great prices on the host of that. We just started filming that a couple of weeks ago. And then this year on TV, I shot a bunch of stuff that's going to be airing this summer. In June, I'm going to be on Brain Games on the Anger episode, which is on Nat Geo. And then also I shot ABC's Wipeout, which is a very big hit show for the summer, so that'll be airing in June as well. And then I'm shooting a show right now for Sci-Fi. I can't mention the name right now legally, but it's going to be out in August. And then another show out in August is going to be CW's Masters of Illusion, which is going to be a 13-week series, and a lot of, you know, known magicians that we all know are going to be on it, along with myself, doing 2, 3, or 4 episodes. So it comes up August 1st, 8 p.m., on August 1st on the CW network. So lots coming up.
Yeah, that is a lot. And man, more work with the Pawn Star guys, huh? When
yep.
When Brain Games came to their anger episode. Why'd they call you? You seem like such an even, level-headed guy. What made him go, Murray, he's the angry guy.
Yeah. I know, right? Well, no, the episode is about how people's spending habits changed in regards to their moods. So if they're happy, there's a spending habit. But then if they're angry, there's a spending habit. And the angry spending habit sometimes is more aggressive than the happy spending habit. So they hired me as an insult comic. I'm dressed basically in a clown outfit, looking like me with the spiky hair and the glasses and the whole bit. And I'm in a dunk tank, and people can walk by, and I nice them for a couple of hours, and it's 3 balls for $5. And for the first couple hours, you'd be surprised how many people spend their money. But then the next 2 hours, I'm sitting there, and no matter if you are within 100 yards of me, I am insulting you to the nth degree. And it's amazing how when I kick you off and make you upset, all of a sudden, $5 is nothing for 3 balls to try to get me wet. And in the next couple hours, we end up getting a lot of money just because you tick somebody off and there's a mood change. People go, you know what, now it's worth it for me to spend the $5. So it's a very, very interesting psychology mental game in regards to people's anger and the way they work with spending habits.
Well, any carny will tell you need a talker in the booth.
Exactly. Isn't that the truth? It's true, yeah.
It is. It's almost like those people know what they're doing.
Yeah, I know. Shocker, right? Shocker.
Hey, now, you mentioned your anniversary, which is something I believe we mentioned on iTrix a couple weeks back. And it seems like we mention you and your wife quite a bit on iTrix because you're pretty heavily involved with a couple charities.
Yeah.
And I'd just like you to take a second and then talk about, how important that is to you. And
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, we support a lot of charities, from the USO to Wounded Warriors to many, but one of the ones that we really single-handedly promote and, we're a big part of is Friends for Life Humane Society. It's a no-kill shelter in Las Vegas. It's actually situated just outside of Vegas in Pahrump, about 40 minutes away, but they come into town every weekend and at Petco here in Las Vegas. If you're in Vegas, it's at Rainbow and Spring Mountain. They bring their dogs that are available for adoption. And they get 2 to 7 to 8 dogs adopted every weekend. So it's wonderful. And since they're adopted, they go out and get some more and save some more. And it's a great, great charity and Humane Society. What I liked about them is the people working there are people that needed help themselves. Like 5, 10, 15 years ago, they were homeless on the streets, didn't know where to go, not in the best of shape. They found the church found them, and people who run this Humane Society. So why don't you come in and take care of the dogs, they'll take care of you. And believe it or not, it's a great society. People have been off the streets for now 10, 15 years. They have a life now. They're helping homeless dogs, that can't stand up for themselves. And so it's, one entity helping the other entity. And I just love that. I've never really seen that. So I was very touched by that. So they've all become very dear friends of mine now. And we do a charity once a year for them. The first one was last year called Begging for Magic. And all the proceeds went to their Humane Society. And then this year we'll be doing one in June or July. And same thing, we'll be Begging for Magic too, and it'll be the same thing. So it's a great charity. I love, anything to do with animals. Me and my wife support that a lot as we have 3 chihuahuas ourselves. So.
Oh, chihuahuas. Really?
Yes. And long-haired, yeah.
And yet it's quiet? Man.
Yes. Believe it or not, one's sleeping on my lap right now, and the other one's sleeping at the end of the couch, yeah.
We have a chihuahua as well, and... they deserve their reputation for as being yappy little dogs.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, exactly. When they get excited, they definitely get, chirping. So,
but as far as the charity work goes, so many people, come on and they're like, hey, you got to perform, do charity shows, do free shows. And I sometimes think that charity shows in the magic field get treated like a promotional opportunity, and they can be, and there is a certain cold hard business side to that, but as somebody who's involved in charities, can you be a salesman for working with charities, for being a charitable performer for a second? Because I think sometimes that aspect of it and the real benefits kind of get left out.
Yeah, well, it's a mix. Here's the thing. You have these great entertainers that charge between $5,000 to $2,000 to $3,000 or more to do a show. and then the charity wants them to come in for free and help if you believe in that charity, which I think is a great, great cause. And indirectly, a lot of them do for the promotion, because you know what? At the end of the day, we all got to pay the mortgage. We do all have to pay the bills. So, you know, I don't see anything wrong with a lot of people going out there going, look, I'll give my services. I'll do an hour show that I'd normally charge. You know, everyone has their own prices, you know, from $2,000 to $5,000 to $500 to $50, whatever people charge, for free, if you mention my name in the paper. Because it shows you're supporting a charity, gives you a little press. They get a free show, completely free, where it doesn't cost them, and everyone gets to raise money. So they get to make money for their charity, and you get to get a little press for you. So hopefully down the road there will be a paying gig that, you know, you can feed your family with, you know. So it's definitely, you know, because unfortunately, as you know, not everyone's Elton John or Celine Dion, where they're pretty set up, where they don't need to work again in their life again, you know. So I think it is a definitely balance. I mean, I know a lot of people have a charity fee where they go, look, you want me to go to L.A., you want me this and that, great, I'll do it for free, but you got to pay my charity rate, and it's $500, because that will cover driving and gas, wear and tear, staying at a hotel, because, you know, if you're doing a charity and it does cost you money as a performer and you don't have the money to throw around, you know, all of a sudden it does get expensive, you know what I mean? But when you're Elton John or Celine Dion, it doesn't really cost you that much, because you generally, the speculation is you do have the money, so you pick a couple and you just go for it, you know? So it definitely is a balance.
All right. So, you know, like I said, I think that's a great venue for people, but be a little bit more practical about it, and that is good advice. Now, speaking of practical, I know you have a show to do today, and
yes.
I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down, and I know we're coming up on being pressed for time. So I'd like to thank you on behalf of iTrix for sitting down with us today, and please take one more second to just run through, where can everybody out there find you on the web, and
sure,
where can we find you in Vegas?
Yeah, well, thanks for first of all interviewing me. I'm having a great time. I love chatting and sharing some info and all that jazz. But you can find me, if you're on Twitter, you can find me at Murray Saw Chuck, which is my last name. So it's MurraySawChuck. And that's also my Facebook, as well as you can go to my website, which is MurraySawChuck.com or MurrayMagic.com. They're the same site. They'll take you there. And if you're in Vegas, come check me out at the Tropicana, you know, and come see a fun show, and make sure you say hi to me after, because after every show I always do a meet and greet and take some photos and stuff like that. So magic is alive and well here in Las Vegas. So.
All right. And one final question. For those of us who are old enough to remember you not from TV, but as the CD guy with your ads in the Magic magazines and such, can we look forward to any more products, any more items from you, or are you just too busy with the show right now to worry about that end of things?
Well, it's interesting. You know, yeah, it's just funny. I labeled myself the guy with the hair, the guy with the CDs, you know, and the hair definitely stayed. You know, and that's something, one of the biggest things I think in magic or any business, you have to really evolve. If you want to stay in the game, you have to change, you have to move forward and rebrand yourself. Like every singer, if you could just sing one hit song and tour the world for the next 50 years, which, yes, the odd artist does, that's a lot of work. But if you want to keep in the game, every year you got to put a new album. Every year you got to put a new hit song out. You know, you got to keep interesting. And that's how you keep working. And that's how you keep interesting and modern and new. And that's why after I did the CDX for 15 years, toured the world, won the awards. And at the time, I invented it. And it was very new and cutting edge at the time. There's times that you do look at yourself in the mirror going, you know what? We are 1 week away from all going to thumb drives or hard drives. The CD disc is on its way out, just like the record was, just like the 8-track, just like the cassette tape, and it goes and goes. And I wanted to get out of that game before I started looking dated and cheesy and everything. So one of my last shows was actually in St. Louis at the convention there, and then the Palace Theater in it was Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We had those the last times, and then it's in my garage all packed away, you know, and storing itself for one day, you know. Maybe I'll show my kids when I have kids one day, but it was good for its time, you know. So to answer your question that you asked, I don't have any new products. I got new tricks all the time, but ones I'm not sharing or doing. I'll do it at the odd convention. I do one convention a year here or there, just being out there. And I do like to love the magic community. I mean, without them, I wouldn't be anybody. But I'm a lot more selective because of the TV and having a show here and being married and the three chihuahuas. It's a pretty busy life, you know. So.
Fair enough. With the married and the chihuahuas and the busy life.
Exactly, though.
And speaking of which, like I said, I know you had a show to do. Thanks again for being for being with us here at iTrix. And everybody listening out there, until next week, all the news you need in the world of magic, visit iTrix.com.